Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, here's a little prologue, like in the theatre when I step in front of the curtain and say, before tonight's revels begin, please know that this is actually going to be a two-parter. It wasn't when we started recording, but then we got so into it, we discovered that what we thought was going to be quite a quick episode, it's actually got lots to say. So this is going to be a part one, and then next week, part two.
Great prologue, Tessa,
thank
if I may.
So much.
And now, the episode. Hi, how are you doing? Hey, are you well? Oh, no, bye, I'm a piece of shit. Oh my God, so great to be here. Would you like a tea? Would you like a present? Would you like some Times?
No, only if you're, I mean, the Times, yeah, only if you're buying the Times, only if you're making a cup of tea. I mean, I don't need anything. Whatever you want is great. Oh. You just, do you not want it? I got you this on the way here.
Oh, we've both exploded. Welcome to Nobody Panic. With me, Stevie, and my good friend Tessa, and we're both people-pleasing too much.
Hello, everyone. This episode is all about how to stop being a people-pleaser. It is inspired by this audiobook, and I don't really listen to a lot of audiobooks. Weird, I know. I think it's because I'm like, I'll do a better job of the voices in my head. And may we say, as we often say, when people are like, oh, I haven't read it, but I listened to the audiobook. That's reading. That's the same
thing. Still reading. You've read it.
There are, as we currently know, 7 different ways of receiving information that we know of. We're only just discovering that when children are like, I'm bad at maths. You're not bad at maths. You're bad at receiving the maths in the way that it's being given to you. But if it was presented in a different way, you'd be like, oh, that's my way. That's my way.
So I'm not a horrible bitch. You just can't receive my information.
Yeah, exactly. Correctly. Turns out it's that. Though you do need to work out which way they would like to receive the information. You can't just be like, fuck you and leave. Anyway, yes. So those are two things. If you think you're bad at maths and you think you can't read, listen, I'm boosting you up left and right and center.
May I also say, open brackets, we've just recorded an audiobook of Nobody Panic. It's genuinely, brackets. My face hurt from laughing. And at one point you can hear my dog in the background. Close brackets, basically.
Close those brackets up. Come and have a listen. We think it's quite good. And if you're someone who likes to receive your information hourly, please put it in your ears. We think it's quite jolly. There's some good voices.
I do a Bruce Wayne voice that ruined my voice for about 24 hours. That was good.
Yeah, so come and listen, for heaven's sake. Anyway, the point is, I was driving along listening to this audiobook. It is called Please Yourself by Emma Reid Terrell. And she has a really lovely voice and she's very calm sounding. And I was really nodding along in the car and I really had a lot of breakthroughs. So I would hurriedly recommend the book, but I'm going to dispense some of the stuff from it with some other extra bits in this podcast, but I can't recommend it enough. Go and have a listen to the whole thing. So that is what has inspired this podcast today.
Let's move on to the most adult things we've done this week, and then we'll circle back into people pleasing if you want to. No worries if not.
No worries if not. No worries if not! Exclamation mark. Fine. My adult thing is that, Stevie, I scored a goal.
Yay!
I scored a goal. I thought, you just run around. It was so dumb. And I was like, I cannot believe I have let this be a thing in my head for my entire life of being like, I can't play football, or that's a boys' game, or I won't be allowed. You can be you can be wearing your worst t-shirt, no makeup. You don't need to impress any fucker because you're old now and you don't have to be good at anything. And I was like, oh, I'm free. I'm free. So if I can inspire you.
You're free from the constraints of the patriarchy.
I'm done. I'm out. The patriarchy.
Constraints? I said constraints of the patriarchy.
Listen.
Yes.
Those flaky fuckers, they got us. So if you too are like, oh, I could never do that boys game, please be free. Be free. So that
good
is
Lord.
Mine. I feel electric. What's your
That's so
adult
good.
Thing?
Oh God, it's quite sad. No, I've been very all the way through my life, been very like anti-aging stuff is rubbish. Like age gracefully, and love the skin you're in. Very much influenced by Dove. Is that what it? That's correct. But then I started to age, and
yes.
Now what's happened?
Easy to be anti-aging when you are not aging, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, and you think you are. You're like, I'm 25 now, so I understand it. Like, what are you talking about? So I've now found a facial that I'm going to go and try a Hydra facial, and I feel like that is an adult thing. But look, not every adult thing has to be a positive thing. It's maybe
sometimes
they're sad adult things. A saddled. It's my saddled thing of the week. In my head, a woman just has like a hose and just shoots water at my face and then I leave. I can imagine it will be more kind of in depth than that. But I really do want to age great, like, and be very happy at aging. And it feels like getting a facial is the first stage of not accepting it. And I can imagine this is the next stage of nobody panic, just two women coming to terms with their own mortality.
Look, well, nobody panic is what I say about that.
Absolutely. Funnily enough, this episode isn't how to stop thinking about death, but now I'm thinking we should do one.
Oh, Christ. So I was listening to Emma read Tyrell in her, reading her audiobook. And I was thinking, I got some things I'd like to talk about with this.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh yeah, I'm a people pleaser. And this book was actually recommended to me by another friend who I had been discussing a thing I do. And they were like, oh, you should read this book. And I was like, nah, I know I'm a people pleaser. I don't need to read the book. And then reading it, I was like, So, Stevie, do you think you're a people pleaser?
But I feel like it's going to be one of those things where, you know, like when we did like how to be assertive or how to, and you kind of go, well, I don't really know. And then for me, a people pleaser is like we opened the episode. It's really clear and it's really like, so no, I don't walk around being like, are you? Oh, God. But I am told by the person that I live with that I'm consistently going to things and showing up for other people in a way that I don't for myself ever. And I love going to I love going to parties and stuff. Like, it's dead fun. But then sometimes when it gets to a point where it's like, oh, actually I can't do that, or actually fitting all those things in makes me just not be able to do anything and burnt out or whatever, I will cancel the thing for myself way more. Like, I would never cancel anything on anybody else. And I get really upset when I have to cancel on someone else. But then at the same time, I do, I'm really bad at remembering people's birthdays. So that makes me think I'm not a people pleaser. I hate people. I don't know.
No, I think that's a good example that people, you're like, oh, no, I'm not very good at birthdays. And I do this. And like, and once again, being like, I'm a bad person. I forget the birthdays.
Oh, I am a piece of shit. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So brown. And then what you say is perfectly summarized, that like, you show up for other people way more than you show up for yourself. And I think that is very true of your personality. And definitely you're someone who I often find on the floor. And then when I say, what are you doing down there, pal? You're like, I've got to go to this party and then I need to go to this and then I need to get to here. And I really need to do this thing, but I just won't. So I need to do this for myself. But what I will do is not.
It's not.
And I will go to that party. Then I will make sure I'm there. And I won't have a sleep. And then I'll be ready in the morning, so that's fine. Would you say that's reasonable?
I'd say, and I'd also apologise to you because obviously I'm comfortable enough with you to, you get the unfiltered version, whereas I feel I have to be like, yay, party, to like everyone else. So yeah. you get the, as my boyfriend sometimes says, he's like, I get the husk. What's going on there?
You
get the husk. You don't get fun Stevie. You get sad Stevie thinking about death.
Yeah, right. Yeah, very, very true. That is increasingly what I was like. Is that what friendship is when you get older? It's you, it's just everyone husking next to each other. You never get to, and that's why I think people like have affairs or like have friendship affairs or like love meeting new people or having like a honeymoon friendship where you're like, oh my God, I'm being the best version of myself. I remember this person. Yes. And then yes. you're, and then you, that's I think, but I think people are like, I think I'll have an affair. I think it's just, you're like, I want to pretend to be good for a bit.
Yes. So I want to look nice and be like glitteringly exciting rather than I've sort of blown it now at this person because they've just seen me.
They've seen
the
it all.
Under the table.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah.
Does she say about what the signs are of being able to identify that you're a people pleaser?
I think it's exactly what you said. Like, do you find that you turn to the opinions or the wants or the needs of others before you turn to yourself? And I think it's instinctive for people to be like, well, yeah, of course, because I'm not a selfish dickhead. Or like, yeah, I'm a good yes. person. I do that. It's like, are you a good person? Or I mean, not like, are you a good person? But of course you're a good person. But have you taken that? Is your instinct to be like, oh, I'm a polite, good person. I show up for my friends. Have you taken that one step too far and at the impact of you ever showing up for yourself?
Yes. But also because I didn't want you to feel the burden of this episode just
See,
yourself.
People pleasing, even though yes. I said I'm happy. Yeah. Yeah. Go on.
Yes. Yes. But I was looking and I found a couple of things that made me go like, oh, I didn't think that would be related to being a people pleaser.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Which I thought was quite interesting because I think we both do this. So people pleasers often have a harder time recognizing how they really feel. So even if you are like, okay, how do I feel about this? Am I upset about the situation? Or what do I want to do today? Or when someone goes, hey, we could go here or here, you go like, because you actually can't find what your answer is because mm-hmm. you're so used to following what another person wants mm-hmm. to do or thinks. And also as well, the thing that really got me and I was like, okay, is you're quick to agree even if you don't really agree. So for example, it's the and I do this constantly and I have to actually actively stop because it can get me into trouble, is when I'm with, say I'm at a party and if there's a group of people, say that this isn't it really, this is a very simplistic way of looking at it, but if they're talking about a book and everyone's going like, in the group going like, I love this book, I love the way they do this, the way they do this, and I hated the book, I'll find something in the book that I did like and I'll just talk about that and I'll say within the context of like their conversation, yeah, I loved it too, I liked this. So I'm not lying, but I also didn't like the book. And then I go to another group and they're going like, I hate the book. And I'll go, I hate the book too because of this is, and I will change my opinion to make the conversation work rather than assert my opinion. And I've got friends that literally will just go like, I hate it. And I'm always like, how did you do it? So when I come out of a film or something with a group of people, that's my nightmare because I don't know what to say. And I have to wait until everyone else has spoken before I've ascertained whether the film was okay. And I've started to be better at that. But it's that really made me go, I would never have connected that with being a people pleaser. I would have just said like, you're spineless.
It's stuff that you don't even think to associate with being a people pleaser. You think a people pleaser is remembering everyone's birthday, but really it's like you bow always to the opinions of others.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So these are the four different types of people pleaser.
Love this. Okay.
Love this. Love this for you. Right. I actually weirdly would identify myself as three out of these four. And so you might be like, oh, that's me just one. Or you might be a whole blend of a bunch of these. So this is number one, the classic people pleaser. The classic people pleaser takes pride in getting things right, choosing the ideal gift, or hosting the perfect dinner party. The appreciation they get becomes their definition of themselves. Self-esteem is replaced by others' esteem. A pat on the head from an authority figure feels like winning the lottery. This is definitely a very all-girls school mentality. What we at my school, we now looking back at it, referred to as gold slip behavior. A gold slip was weirdly a thing that you got for like good work. And obviously no one actually wanted or cared about gold slips, but we might like jokingly say to each other like gold slip for you if you did something good. And that desire to like prove yourself, be the best, get the little sticker, say that like this would be classic like pleasure to teach. You know, good in class. Like, isn't she good? Isn't she good at stuff? Well done, her.
And you're chasing that sweet, sweet. So in adult life, it's like you're chasing that sweet, sweet high of someone going, what an exceptional party that you just hosted.
Yeah.
What a beautiful drink, like a drinks place that you've gone to. We'll go here. And then everyone goes, what an amazing choice, Tessa.
Yeah.
As in that person, not you don't necessarily do that, but that person is, so then it makes you do more and more and makes you want to be the person that is the, oh my God, that was such a great choice.
That's exactly it.
Because I shy away from making those choices because I'm like, my choice will be a shit. So that I don't really chase that sweet, sweet high. Just as an alternate, I don't think I am that person.
May I offer you the resistor people pleaser?
And that will be me already.
Wouldn't identify themselves as a pleaser at all. Convinced they'll never be able to please, they avoid intimacy and keep their distance and keep their opinions quiet in groups with a protective persona of indifference.
Oh my God. I remember like three years ago, my therapist was like, I was like, I don't really have any close friends. I've got lots of nice friends, but I just don't really. And then she was like, I think, and then we discovered that I just don't invite anyone around or would never talk to anyone. Cause I'd be like, cause I'll be bad at talking to them or they'll come around and be like, why you haven't served me the right ale. It wasn't that, but like, oh my God, that's hit me so strongly to my core. I'm gonna have to take a breather.
Yeah. You have a little 100%. Yeah. So you have a little moment.
I'm working on it.
Yeah, oh baby.
She be working on it, but
she be working.
She be a resistor. Okay.
She be a resistor. Keep going. Number three, the shadow people pleaser lives in service of other people. They pick up the slack at work, champion others over themselves, and shower people with attention and generosity. They work out how to be the best support act. So this is something I don't do with everyone, but there are definitely people in my life who I've actively said sometimes that my ideal party is I just prepare the party and then leave the party.
Yes, you have to, yes.
And like, I remember once, there are years ago, we were doing Max and Evans, the prom, very specific, everyone, but you don't need to know any of the details. Our friend Lolly was being the head cheerleader and doing this team thing. I said, I didn't want to be involved. I didn't want to do anything with it. I just wanted to do everything in the background, teach everyone the routine, make everyone the costumes, do everything, and then disappear like a little shadow gremlin.
Yeah.
And then Ollie couldn't do it because she couldn't be there. And I did have to be in charge of everything. And I did it, but that my instinct is always to be like, I'll just be here in the background. You can do it better than me. I'll just support you and give you everything you need.
Yes.
So I have shades of shadow pleasing in me. And then the pacifier people pleaser. The pacifier operates from a don't ever displease position. They keep the peace at all costs, avoid conflict by burying their feelings, and won't challenge others' behaviors. Pacifiers seek the acceptability of the middle road, never voicing a contentious opinion or unpopular preference. But I've also definitely been a pacifier. And I think so a big part of the book is her just talking about various people under different aliases and everyone with an assumed name who have come to her in therapy. Some of them saying, I'm not a people pleaser. And some of them saying, I'm such a bad people pleaser, it's got out of control. And you do all the work, starts with basically, what were you like when you were 10? Like, what were you like as a child? That you, when you go to therapy, you're like, boring. I don't want to talk about that. But so much of this behavior comes from what you were like as a child. You have to identify like what people said about you that you were like, oh, that's who I am. And that's how something that she brought up a lot was somebody being easygoing and somebody who had a very difficult brother, them saying, Susan's the easy one. Jack's a nightmare, but Susan's easy. Oh, Susan's never had a tantrum. Oh, Susan's a pleasure. Jack's a nightmare. But Susan. And so Susan, age 6, gets in her head that Jack is allowed to be a problem, but never Susan. And Susan is loved because she's easy. And so therefore,
oh, wow, that's interesting.
Susan grows up always being like, Susan's no bother. Oh, Susan's easy. So Susan's like, that's who I am. And that is why I'm loved. And so that's what I have to do. And so it's obviously will be so personal to everybody, but you have to sort of look in your head of being like, okay, what did people say about me as a kid? And what was where did I be like, oh, this is how I define my personality. This is what people said about me. This is the praise I was given. And has it therefore, and also what are your siblings like? Have you got one very problematic sibling or one that was always getting their own way and you always had to do what that sibling wanted? Or do you, if you're a pacifier, are you from a household that maybe had a lot of shouting or was in some way, you know, there was occasionally tension for whatever reason. And you learned that if you could just keep everybody happy, then you would keep the peace and there wouldn't be any shouting. And she talks about a lady who came to her who they just could not make any sort of breakthrough. And this woman was really hard work because she was such a people pleaser. Like if she was even a minute late, she cried because she was so sorry about upsetting the therapist. At one point she wrote the therapist a poem. She was always like, I'm so sorry, I must be your worst client. I'm so sorry, I'm so bad. You must hate me, all of this. How can I be better for you? And the therapist was like, I don't give a shit what you're like for me. We're here for you. We need you to unpack some of this. And it took them like 8 months to eventually identify a moment when she was age 3, this little girl, and she broke something in the house completely by accident. And her parents packed her little suitcase and made her go on the doorstep.
Oh.
And then about half an hour later, her parents let her come back in again. And you can understand in their minds, they were just like teaching her a lesson. And that was some kind of like, they were very cross and they were like, they in that way that like adults are like, I thought it was obvious it was a joke. And you're like, I'm a child. I don't know what's a joke and what's not.
Yeah.
So for her, age 3, she's like, if you do anything wrong, you have to go and live somewhere else. So like, of course, her whole thing is like, I mean, I think those parents were 100% out of line, but like, you don't have to have come from like, because often when you're like, oh no, my parents were lovely and lots of people's parents were lovely. You don't have to have come from like actual physical abuse or anything properly dreadful to have been like, here is a moment in my childhood that I think probably influenced how I react to other people, or this, like, I don't say things in class, or I don't do this because, and then you're like, why don't I do that? And then you're like, oh no, oh no. You can unpack this stuff and not be like, oh my God, my parents fucked me up. You can be like, hey, my parents were just people trying their best, and they were good people and they took good care of me. But I now identified that some of these offhand comments that weren't meant in any way, you know, or things that happened affected how I then perceive myself. So lots of unpacking to do of your own personal, yeah. Like, ah, dear. And again, it could be school. It could be this whole thing of like, oh, she's a pleasure to teach, or you get into a friendship group in which you are you're part of the friendship group is because you always do this thing. And so you're like, okay, that's my role. That's who I am.
Yeah. And, you know. Well, it's like, do you remember that episode we did, and it was a while back, and it was how to cope when your best friends move on, like when your friends move on, like when they get a partner and they, you know, so say you're mm-hmm. living together and then they get a partner and move out or whatever. And it was with Dolly Alderton, I think. And I remember being, and I was like quite, I was very much present for the episode, but I remember saying at one point being like, yeah, I just don't really feel like I can, yeah, because I just don't feel like that about friends and things. And then it became, obvious that when I was like 10, my best friend, who I'd been friends with since I was conscious, just decided she didn't want to be my friend anymore. And then everyone bullied me like for 4 years. And I was like, oh, I didn't let anyone in. And that's why I'm not sad when they've moved on. I was really like, oh, this is so deep now. And I was like, okay, well, I can hear my therapist rolling her arms up. Not even, it's too, more than the sleeves.
Full arms. Whole arm rolled. Yeah, right? You're like, oh, no. So have a little bit of a memory deep dive. And I see this is why I do it. And then be like, okay, what can I do about this? And so there's a lot of thinking, oh, I don't want to be somebody who puts myself first because that would be an arsehole or a, you know, a bullying person or whatever. Like, that's not what this is. It's not about you saying I'm the best. It isn't about saying me first. It's about simply saying me too.
Oh, it's the other hashtag me too.
Yeah, the other hashtag me too.
Often gets, you know, sidelined.
And so you aren't a bad friend for doing these things. You shouldn't feel guilty. And people be like, if you feel terribly guilty about not going something, your guilt is misplaced. Like, you need to feel, when was the time that you actually truly fucked up on purpose? Like, you did something really bad on purpose. Like, probably never. But like, when was the last time that you felt like racked with guilt about something that actually, in retrospect, is not, you've made a disproportionate response to it?
Yes, you made a mistake, or you didn't mean to, or
simply you just didn't attend a friend's party. And
oh
yet
my
you're
god,
like,
that's fine. Yeah.
And
also,
yet
yeah,
like,
I remember one of those freeing things was when someone said to me, like, in the best way, no one cares that you're not at the party. And it was like, oh yeah, of course. So I was just spiraling then for a second, because I remember after the wedding, this is very exposing for me, but I will say it because maybe it'll help somebody go, oh yeah, I'm like that as well, and you won't feel so absolutely mad. I did this without even really realizing I'd done this until, 2 weeks later? So after that wedding that me and Tessa went to, there was talk of going to the sea afterwards. Like, some people were going straight home, some people were driving to the sea. I heard Tessa say, I don't think Stevie would like the sea. I was upstairs doing my teeth and they were like discussing who would be going. And, you know, fair play. When have I ever gone to the sea and gone, I want to go to the sea after this thing? I like to get out of a situation. I like to do the thing and then leave, because I've actually gone boiling hot, because I thought, oh, I might not be very fun at the sea, so I'd best just go, because if I go to the sea and I'm not fun, or maybe I don't want to get in the water and everyone's like, this is rubbish. And then I heard you say she doesn't like the sea, and I was like, yeah, no, that is true. And also, and then I was like, I don't know if I like the sea, because I've never gone. And it's not a thing that everyone's constantly going to the sea, but it's very, because whenever there's a wedding, it tends to be like near somewhere, or like, we're all going to stop off at Stonehenge, or like, there's always a stop off. And I'm like, no, because what if I'm just like, what if there's a wasp there and everyone's like, oh God, Stevie's being a pain in the ass with a wasp. Or do you know what I mean? Terrible. So that's good to have done this, because now I realize I've not got over it in any way. It's like, so I'm fine now about that.
Would you like to go to the sea?
Well, as we've discussed, I don't know what I like and don't
well
like,
have
but
a
I
check.
I think I would, when I saw that you'd all gone, I was like, that looks nice.
So you also, would like to go to the sea?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. But
okay.
I just, yeah.
So
yeah, I had a lovely time in the car journey with my two friends, and we had a great chat, and I'm very glad I did that. But yes, it's less that I don't always want to go to the sea, sure, but it's less that. It's more just like, say you don't want to go because you don't want to go, not that you might not be fun at the sea. That's
oh
not
my
a thing.
God. Yeah, okay. So if I my position on saying I don't think Stevie wants to go to the sea is, one, wasps, and two, my instinct that you're like, oh, Stevie doesn't like to go to the things or stop off at Stonehenge. Stevie wants to go home. Not, it's never
always
occurred, and therefore I was like, Stevie likes to go home. That's a thing I know about you.
And it's fair, fair enough.
But it turns out it's because you don't think you'll be fun at Stonehenge.
Yes, because also the that goes against the idea that I just like to leave things. That goes against the idea that I am always tend to be like the last one out at a party.
Yeah.
I love that.
Love the party.
I back myself because I'm drunk. But like, but if it's like a thing, it's like, oh God, well, genuinely, like, what will I say at the sea?
What will I say at the sea?
Like,
oh my God.
What will I do? I don't have the right things. And then you were like, one of the guys that was there was like, he was just wearing his like boxers, sort of wading in because, you know, no one had the stuff. You didn't have a swimming costume. Like,
no,
it's all fine. But it's all, it's that very like, cool, we'll just sort of go. And I often see people on Instagram of like, just like, stopped off somewhere and I'm like, but how did you do that? Like, were you just like, yeah, I bet I'll be fine there. It's so weird. So weird. Anyway.
When you think, yeah, I bet I'll be fine there, do you mean like I will be physically fine? Like I'll just get a snack when I get there? Or do you mean like, I bet
people,
I'll be fun when I get there?
As in like, I bet, like that was me being like, that's what those people have thought. They've been like, yeah, I'll be fun when I get there. Whereas I'm like, I might not be fun. What if I'm not fun there?
It has, okay. My God. Okay, just to return to the resistor people pleaser. Resisting
also, do you
everything.
Want to know another thing?
Yeah.
Another thing. You know that whole thing about, so what me and Tessa and our friend Liz used to share, it was just me just having therapy on air.
Listen,
on air.
I'm all for it.
All for it. And we used to go to the Edinburgh Fringe, and also we'd go and do show places, and we'd have to like stay over and find, you know, you end up like sleeping in various different arrangements. And I was always like, oh, I'll sleep on the sofa of the one bed flat that we're in because I don't like sharing a bed. And the reason was, again, I can't tell you enough how I'm only just realizing this now that with this C thing, it's like, yeah, that checks out. The reason wasn't that I'm like a bad sleeper. I mean, I am a bad sleeper, but that doesn't really bother me too much because I sleep in the same bed as my sister, for example, whenever we go home. Sometimes, is that I would not be good at the like morning fun chat.
Oh,
and I'd be
my
boring.
God.
So I would be like, I'll go on to my just by myself so that I can just like, I don't have to be entertaining. Cause you know, like, when two people are showing up and you always hear them like laughing and stuff, and I was like, I won't make anyone laugh. So I'll just.
Oh my God.
Isn't that awful?
Yeah.
Isn't that so late?
Oh
but
my
like,
God. These, oh my God.
I've gone
these
so
are the
hot.
Things, these, you're doing so well. You're doing so well. Thank you for sharing with the
I'm
group.
Crying a bit.
Yeah, I can see that. But like, these are things I know about you. Like, Stevie doesn't like to share a bed because she's a bad sleeper. Stevie likes to be on her own. Stevie doesn't want to go to Stonehenge on the way home. Like, Stevie won't want to go to the stuff because she, like, in my mind, I was like, I don't think she likes being outdoors very much. Like, she doesn't. Like
yeah,
thing.
Well, I mean, I don't like wasps. That is a fair.
Yeah, you don't like,
that's not really a thing.
And I don't. I'm not. And yeah. And my instinct was like, when she doesn't want to stop off at Stonehenge because she's like, where are the? In my mind, I thought it's like maybe it's like something like where are the snacks or like where's the stuff?
Yeah, what you're the, like, what's the fun stuff?
What's the
yeah.
What will be fun here? But really, it's you saying I won't be fun enough to go to Stonehenge. When I was listening to this audiobook and she was discussing the resistor people pleaser, I honestly was driving along being like. What is that? Who are you talking about? It's that's, you.
That's so funny. Who's that? Oh, yes.
Okay, so what are we going to do, Stevie? You need to go to the sea and decide if
yes,
you like
sure.
the sea. You need to start saying yes to everything.
Mm.
Mm. And being like, yeah, you're fun. Of course you're fun. But also,
yes,
like,
I'll go to, yeah.
You're in, this is, God, I feel hot. Your instinct is like, I won't do that because I won't be fun enough in the morning. Your thing is literally like, I will not please that other person enough.
Who is asleep.
Who's asleep in the morning. Whereas I'm like, oh, that might be fun. We might have fun in the morning or not, but I don't think I won't be
able to.
No
one's thinking about that. They're saying,
no,
I, can I share a bed
yeah,
with that person? Yes, fine.
Yeah,
like,
fine.
No one's thinking like,
it never
also,
crossed my
I had
mind,
to be very clear.
Will I be fun enough in the morning?
No, but also it has to be very, very clear. These things are so deep that I'm not literally going, I cannot share the bed because I won't be fun. It's happening with before my brain is even
oh,
saying
I know,
that.
I know, I 100%, yeah. I know. Oh my God, of course. Where, you know, me being like, I don't know, I don't care what we have for dinner isn't me being like, if I choose wrong, I will have to sit on the step with the suitcase. By the way, that isn't me telling that story and pretending it was someone else. My parents did not make me sit on the step. That is crazy. But
yes.
Like, I do come from a pacifier. Like, everyone else has got more opinions than me and we need to keep the environment calm. So everyone else choose. Mm. It isn't, none of these things are conscious, but it's so good to unpack them, and you're being very brave. And like, so I think,
no, absolutely.
The first thing on her list of like, how do we work through it is like to start saying no. But I actually think your thing needs to be to start saying yes to things and to be like, yes. Yeah, I want to go to the sea, if only to discover if I like the sea. And when you're there, be like, do I like the sea? As opposed to, does everyone yes. at the sea like me?
It doesn't matter. The default can't be, I won't do that. Like, the default has to be like, let's just see.
Let's see at the sea. Oh my God. And then if you're at the other sort of end, a big thing that she kept saying through the book was like, you need to find somewhere else to find your validation, not from other people. And for me, I kept in the car shouting, where? From where?
From where? That man?
Like, where will I get it if not from other people?
Yeah, because then doesn't that affect so much of like, if you get your reassurance and just everything from other people, then also things like when you are in a relationship, for example, you then can, anyone that shows you sort of anything, it's like you would be like, yes, great, someone who's showing me something, rather than that person is actually the best thing for you. So you can get yourself in a real hot spot of
bother.
You can
get yourself into a real mess. And if you're in a relationship where you're like, when you say like, what do you love about this other person? And your answer is like, they love me. Like that's, you're like, yeah, lovely. But like, that can't be the thing that you love
most.
That can't be the first thing that you love most about them. And if you are in this position of like, where does your validation come from? And you're looking for someone else. Oh my God, it's a lot, isn't it? And then you think, and because if you're like, oh wow, I literally let all my validation come from other people. Me, the entire journey, just shouting, where else can I get it? It just needs to be about, rather than others' esteem, it needs to be your own self-esteem of being like, oh, I don't need other people to like me or to, not that they will dislike you, but you don't demand that they like you for you to feel good about yourself, and their opinion of you isn't the most important thing. And it's about being like, what do I actually like? Is it the sea? Is it this? What are my opinions on this film? What do I actually like? And I think if you're really struggling with it, there's two things. And I know we're coming to the end because we've had a big and deep
oh my God, we've not given any tips. We've just talked about going to the sea. Should we do part one and part two? So this is all about identifying yourself, and then part two is like how to like do it. I think that could work. Initially, this was obviously supposed to be one episode, but we've decided to split it into two. So this is identifying, and then next week we're going to be doing about how you can become less of a people pleaser and change your perception. Is that correct, Tessa?
Absolutely. This is not how we began this session, but we've made some huge revelations and we need to give them the respect they deserve. So join us. That's the end of your session today. You owe £75 and I'll see you next week.
I'm so exhausted. Follow us at Nobody Panic Pod. Let us know which one you
are. Buy our book. It's more of this. And it's none of this. It's some of this.
Yeah.
And we will see you next week to learn how to stop being a people pleaser. See you next week.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, you might enjoy our podcast. It's called Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.
We have a podcast and it might be, I probably don't want to sound, you know, like I'm bragging, but it's dynamite. It is electric. It's high voltage. And please, we really need you to listen. You don't understand how much we need this.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. But yeah, this one is coming. This one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.